This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Did you think he could do this, or did you have to be talked into it, or were you up for it?
No, I always wanted to do it when I read it.
It'll be 1 second.
I've always wanted to do it. We can start. It's fine. I read it a while ago and, like, really wanted to do it. But I was always told I was too old to, play the part because I knew Judd and Seth and Evan so well. And Seth and Evan and I are, like, a year apart. So it just seemed like they looked at me as the same age as them. So why would I have, like... Why would I have played a high school student? And I just played one of Seth's friends in Knocked Up. So, essentially... but I really wanted to play it, because it was, like, the best script I've ever read. It was definitely the funniest script I've ever read. And, hey, Emma.
Hi, Jonah.
Emma Stone's here.
Hi, guys.
And it was the funniest script I had ever read. And, but I was just considered too old to play it, and then I think they had such a hard time finding the lead of the movie that... finally, Judd looked at me one day and he was like, "How young could you look?" Kind of like I was just like hiding in plain sight while we were shooting Knocked Up. And Greg and Judd were just like, "How young could you look?" And I was like, probably 18, 17. Like I said I could have a while back. And then I just shaved and then we went and made a tape and Seth's trailer. Like, just improvised and stuff. And then that day I was in the movie.
Were they trying to take their impressions out on you? I mean, you get hurt in this movie.
No, well, Seth had written the part originally for himself, but then he just aged so terribly he wasn't able to play it. And so I don't think it was a specific attack against me. Hopefully not. Maybe they added more violence when I came along to make my life worse. I don't know. No, I think it's like for every time I say so much, the character says so many vulgar and crude things that... you need to be sympathetic towards him. So, like, as right as you're starting to dislike me, it's nice to see me get hit by a car. It kind of allows, you feel bad for me, and then it allows for 10 more vulgar things that I say to happen, I think. Well, it's like right when things get, like, same thing and someone bullies me or spits on me, it kind of, you realize where it comes from, like the anger comes from.
Well, the ultimate message of the movie is to just be yourself. Does that really work?
I think it does. It works to be yourself. I mean, if it does or it doesn't, I'm not going to try anything else. You know? I'm myself, and if you like that, then you can be friends with me, and if not, then you don't have to be.
But that is the message of the movie, underneath all of the vulgar stuff.
I don't know if the message is be yourself. I think there should always be some sort of message of be yourself. I think there's a lot of themes to the movie, but... I definitely have realized I'm not going to try and be somebody else to appease anybody, you know? I think it's like the character is kind of like the same way of like take it or leave it. He's kind of unapologetically who he is. And whether it's kind of like that in real life. I feel like you shouldn't have to change anything about yourself to make anyone like you more. Because then they're not liking you. They're liking what you're pretending to be.
Well, he's trying to be the cool drunk guy because that's what he thinks is cool for a while.
I really don't think he's trying to be the cool drunk guy. I think he's trying to get alcohol because that's what the girl he likes asked him to do. I think he's just trying to really make her happy. You know what I mean? I don't think he's... saying, like, if I'm a cool drunk guy, I don't think anyone really assumes that being a drunk guy is going to help you in any way. It's a pretty absurd thing to believe, I imagine, that being a out-of-control drunk person is going to help you in any way. I think it's pretty clear that it only makes you look more foolish. But I think the intention was that she would be drunk and I would be drunk, and that would make... You know, when you're young, that's what you think. That's how you assume people hook up with each other because their inhibitions are gone. You know, you keep making a face like you are completely dissatisfied with. Really? Really? I just, because I keep looking at you and you're just like. And I'm just like, oh.
I like the movie.
Oh, thanks. I'm just messing with you. I know. I probably sound like an idiot, anyways. Eh?
Emma, how many Seth characters have you actually had to fight off in your life?
I haven't had to fight off any Seth characters, I don't think. And I'm not really fighting him off in the movie. I think it's just a situation where you know, I really do like him. I just don't want our first kiss to happen in that situation. But I've never really had that experience, I don't think, of someone coming on to me being absolutely out of their mind drunk.
Okay.
I'm a lucky one, maybe.
Yeah.
How many Seth characters have you had to fight off?
I've lost count. And speaking of Seth, I mean, did he ever, like, kibitz with you and say, no, the character's not like that, or, like, I wasn't like that. No, I mean, the character wasn't like that.
No, I'm not like playing Seth in the movie. I'm not doing an impression of Seth. It's not really his. It's not his like walk the line or anything like that. You know, it's more of like he wrote the character in his voice because he was originally going to play it. But then when I came along, you know, he's one of my best friends. Also, we've worked together a ton, and it was more like, how do we make this more for your strong suits as opposed to mine? Because I feel like we shot Knocked Up right before, and that was kind of his chance to show what his voice was about, and then this was kind of my opportunity to show what I could do that was different than him, you know. So it was never like, you know, we very early on we were just hanging out at his house, and he was just like, just me and him, and he just was like, we were watching TV or playing video games or something. He was just like, you're not gonna like do me, right? And I was like, no. And then that was the only time we ever discussed it. It was just very clear that we had to try and do. I mean, we're both unique in different ways, and I think there it was an importance to show. You know, that Knocked Up was his way to really show what he was, his voice was, and this was kind of a way to show what I can offer that's different, you know. I was very conscious, and Michael wasn't doing an impression of Evan Goldberg either, you know. But the only thing, the ideas they gave were just because they knew the script better than anyone else, because they wrote it, of like, you know, it was very important to keep the intentions of each scene the same and the emotions of each scene.
It seems like these guys, you know, it's more about what they don't say to each other than what they do say. And I'm just wondering, you know, being a guy, do you find that with your own friends that are you as honest, or do you kind of hold back a little bit in terms of, you know, really telling them what you want to, what you feel and stuff like that? Because I know girls are more about feelings, guys are more about just action.
No, well, the thing I related to the most was that when you're young, when you're an adolescent, you know, especially in this movie, because the movie's really about, the whole story is Michael and I having separation anxiety from each other. And when you're a teenage male, you can't really have conversation. You're too insecure and freaked out by emotion to, like, have a conversation to the effect of, like, hey, I'm freaked out about this. Are you freaked out? You know, it's kind of, that's what the, it takes the whole movie to kind of have that conversation. So talking about sex and talking about things like that are kind of like a blanket, so you don't have to talk about anything that has real emotion to it. It's kind of a safe subject to be like that for teenagers to talk about, because it allows you not to talk about anything you're really freaking out about.
And also there's the whole hierarchy of the friendship too, about, you know, the fact that his character's afraid to tell you that they're going to be rooming together because he's kind of like the lower guy on the totem pole and stuff like that. I thought that was kind of interesting too, just kind of the hierarchy of the friendship.
It's like that, but I think it's also just you're so afraid of hurting your best friend's feelings like that. I mean, I think he just knew how hard I would take it. I think that's because he's just a nice, I think his character is just so nice that he was just more, you know, aware of really not knowing how earth shattering that would be to me or my character. Not me. I don't give a shit who Michael lives with.
Best friend, I guess, you know, that's what his fear was, that you know, mm-hmm. that he would be replaced.
Right.
Okay.
I was going to ask for both of you, since you're, I'm sure, a little tired of talking about this film, you guys are both in a lot of projects coming up. I wanted to know if you could just give, like, an update as to what you're working on right now or what you've done recently.
Emma's shooting movies every day.
Every single day of my life, I'm shooting movies.
No. I just... Actually, I'll be starting my third film now. Super Bad was my first, and then I just wrapped 2 days ago in Toronto a movie called The Rocker, for Fox the Comic with Rainn Wilson, and then next week I'll be starting a movie called House Bunny for Happy Madison. It's an Anna Faris movie.
I was going to ask you about both of this. Could you talk about your character in both films and working with Rain and?
In The Rocker, I'm a bassist in a band, and Rain is kind of a washed-up 80s musician that got kicked out of this heavy metal band called Vesuvius, and before they went on tour. And so he's kind of like lived, you know, had a desk job for the past 20 years and resented this band as they like completely, you know, they sold like 100 million albums. And he ends up, his nephew is in the band with me, and he ends up joining our band as the drummer, gets assigned to a label, and we go on tour, and he completely wrecks himself on this tour with like these kids. And that also has Christina Applegate as his love interest. And then House Bunny is I play a character named Natalie, and she's the president of the worst sorority on campus with like 7 pledges. And Anna Faris plays a playmate that gets kicked out of the house when she turns 27 because it's 59 in bunny years. And she comes to the UCLA campus and becomes the house mother to my sorority and kind of gives us all playmate makeovers and gets us more pledges. And in the end, we find out, you know, it's really about being yourself.
Have you started filming that yet?
I started filming that on Tuesday, actually, yeah. I got a costume fitting right after this.
Jonah, could you give us a little update?
I don't have anything really coming out that I'm acting in. I'm writing 2 movies and for Judd and different studios, Universal and Sony, and that I'm going to star in, and producing one of them with Judd. And I'm really trying to take my time to not rush into acting in another movie because I really like this one so much. And I just kind of want to follow it up with something I'm really excited about. And I'll probably the next movie I'm probably going to do is the one that I wrote that I'm going to star in, and it's called The Middle Child. And I'm just finishing writing it right now. Basically, I would be finishing writing it at this moment if I wasn't here. And so as soon as I get, we're kind of looking at directors and you know, finishing all the drafts and everything like that. And that's pretty much it. I'm really concentrating on writing and taking my time and learning how to direct. And I don't want to rush into doing movies. It's kind of the benefit of not having like a wife and a family and things like that is I don't need a lot of money, and I'm not going to just try and do as many movies as I can while things are going well. I just kind of want to hang out and wait for something really great or create it myself to try and do it.
Yeah.
Both movies I'm writing for myself to star in.
It also says you're doing something called One Part Sugar.
Oh, that was an independent movie that I did like a couple years ago. You'd have to ask them. I have no idea. I haven't seen it.
Oh, Seth, like you'll write a part for him?
We're probably going to be working together on something pretty soon.
We're going to write a part for him.
You know, he might play my brother in The Middle Child. Like, the movie's about a guy who finds out he had a brother who was put up for adoption before he was born. And the brother who was put up for adoption finds the family again. And then I come home from school and basically become a middle child, start going through middle child syndrome in my early 20s. And the brother who comes back is kind of like, fits in with the family way better than my own family, way better than I do, kind of replaces me. And Seth might possibly play that brother.
These press notes are hopelessly inaccurate. It says middle child, you're playing a teenager.
No. Where did you get these from?
Sony.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
They don't know what the hell they're talking about.
They say you're opening in Strange Wilderness in January.
That's another movie I made a couple years ago. I haven't seen it. I don't know. I'm in a movie called Superbad that opens August 17th. I'm the lead in it. You might really like that one. I don't know. I'm really proud of it. Superbad.
Did you have any input into your wardrobe on this film?
Yeah, the big thing we thought about was we had the image for my T-shirt of what I'm wearing in the school. Like, we all thought that had to be kind of like an iconic image, whatever it was. And there was a lot of different things. And the Richard Pryor one, I couldn't have been happier with that. I mean, we all talked about, like, that shirt has to kind of describe who that guy is, or like the kind of guy who would wear a Richard Pryor shirt at school. Was a kind of funny guy, or, you know, like, likes cool things, you know, interesting, old school. You know, it just seemed kind of... That was an important decision, and we had a lot of different versions of that shirt, and that was the one we landed on. That we had a lot of discussion about it. I don't know, someone from the art department probably found it. I mean, we basically were like Red Fox, Richard Pryor, kind of people that we found really interesting and cool, would be a cool image on a shirt. We would just come up with lists of people that or images that were kind of great. And then I think they found that image, which couldn't have been cooler, I thought. I had never seen that specific Richard Pryor image before. And then the Western shirt, we tried. They designed tons and tons of Western shirts because it had to be. It was a really funny joke in the script that, you know, that I think worked really well. Like, when we get off the bus and you see me for the first time in Evan's dad's clothes, that was really important to make that outfit kind of cool seeming, or you know, like a way that ended up being cool. It was like looks ridiculous, but in a way ends up being kind of cool by the end of the movie, I think.
Can you talk about the silhouette dancing in the beginning?
Oh yeah, that was actually, there was a DVD feature. We all thought it'd be funny to just, for the DVD menu, if Michael was dancing for 45 minutes, because that's how long it could dance. Oh, that could hold it, without, you know, looping. In the background, without looping. So, like, you would notice that it wasn't looped. He would do, you know, like, we really made him dance for, like, an hour or something like that. And so he did it in front of a green screen, and we all thought it was, I mean, it was really funny. He just kept dancing. He got really tired. It was really funny. And then, you know, the opening sequence, one of the assistant editors, this guy Scott, who was just really cool, made it a silhouette and did opening titles, like, for the movie, just for fun, and just showed Greg, and was like, check this out, I made this thing. And then Greg loved it, and we all were like, that is the coolest thing ever. He took the old, like, Columbia logo, and then Greg was like, we have to do it with Michael and Jonah dancing, so we then got another green screen, and then Michael and I danced for, like, 2 hours, just different dance moves, and I'd cut my hair at this point, because it was after we shot the movie, and I put on, like, a wig and everything, and we just danced and danced, and then it sets the tone, I think, for the whole movie, I think.
Can both of you give us some background, where you're from, how you got into acting, that kind of stuff?
Go for it.
Well, I'm from Scottsdale, Arizona, and I moved here when I was 15, after begging my parents for about a year, and just literally got, like, some whatever agent when I came out here and started auditioning and didn't get any roles for months and months and months, and then things started kicking in and I was in Superbad.
Okay, well, what did your parents do? They just pulled up?
Sony Pictures had two people conceive a child. They named it Emma Stone.
I was technically born in a studio.
She was born in an acting facility.
I was born on stage 15. My dad owns a company in Arizona, and a general contracting company. And parents are married, and my dad owns Enron. And my parents are married and everything. So I was like, you know, can I please give this a shot? So my mom came out with me, and it was basically just pilot season idea. And I ended up doing a lot of TV before I started doing films, and it just started working, and now I've got my own place, and my parents are back in Arizona and everything. Yeah.
How were you conceived?
I was conceived during a commercial of Head of the Class.
Yeah.
My parents feeling rowdy one night. No, I don't know. I was born in Los Angeles. I grew up out here. I prefer New York. When I graduated high school, I went to go to school in New York, New School University. I love New York. I plan on moving back there. My family's out here, though, which is great, and most of my friends and work are out here. And I went to school in New York, studied writing, and then later studied acting in college, and I started writing, like, plays and kind of performance piece-type things, and eventually, I met Dustin Hoffman's kids and became friendly with them, and they liked the stuff that I was doing, and they introduced me to their dad, and we all kind of started hanging out, and I guess he thought I was really funny or a good actor or whatever, and I went back to L.A. for the summer, and he called me up one day and said, I want you to meet Busted, tape turn, and I came back to L.A. for the summer, was working for my friend's brother, making boxes and doing odd jobs and things like that. And he called me up one day and said, come over to this house. And I got there, and it was like David O. Russell and Jason Schwartzman and Lily Tomlin and all these people, and they were reading the script for I Heart Huckabees, and they were listening to a prank call CD I had made for Dustin, and I was really embarrassed and nervous, and then I talked to David for a while, and then the next day I auditioned, and that was my first acting job, and then I went back to school for a semester, and then dropped out to pursue this, and then didn't do anything for like over a year, and kind of freaked out. My parents freaked out, and then I met Judd when I auditioned for 40-Year-Old Virgin, and then I think I found the appropriate people that I was meant to be working with, and that's how I ended up here. I got really lucky, basically.
So what kind of kid were you at high school?
Me?
Yeah.
Not extraordinarily well-behaved, I'd say. I gave my parents are the sweetest, greatest people, and I probably gave them too much grief. Don't worry about it. And I didn't get great grades. I wasn't in the drama. I wanted to be a writer for The Simpsons my whole life, and I wasn't great at sports. I wasn't terrible. I kind of like wasn't the coolest kid, or wasn't the least cool kid. I was just like kind of like just a normal kid. I mean, so I joked around a lot. I got in a lot of trouble.
So you were as preoccupied with girls as this guy?
No. I had better luck than this person did in the movie, this character, thank God. And but there were always kind of small ironies that would prevent me from having sex, which was always really funny, which I tried to put in the movie, but it didn't. A lot of them didn't end up in there. But there would always be like, I would get really close, and then something terrible would happen that would prevent me from having sex, and then I would just kind of be back at square one. I would, you know what I mean, like. Like prom night, there was the girl I liked all throughout high school, and then we finally started dating, and then I just got like hammered and vomited in the van with everybody, and I didn't have sex that night, and I was back at square one. But I got her later. I told her I was going to tell this story, so she's not going to be pissed. But I eventually, like a year later. Just so you know, this is for you. This is for your personal diaries.
No, it's to expand.
I'll send you some.
Audio.
I'll send you some audio.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. How about you?
It was
Emma. Like, what's my? It was me. What? Am I? Was it what?
How was your hygiene experience
compared? Extraordinarily different, because I went to an all girls Catholic high school with uniforms. And caste system, really. There wasn't like, you know, nobody knew who was popular and who wasn't and who was an outcast. It was just all girls, like, you know, being lame. And then what?
Slaves to the nuns.
Exactly. We were all slaves to the nuns. I got a lot of detention. And then I like I said, I moved to LA when I was 15, so I ended up being homeschooled and graduating early from high school, so it was very different. I went to my friends' proms and my friends' dances and things like that, so I could relate to the parties and that aspect of it, but the actual high school, you know, experience that you kind of see in this, I never really, it's all acting, you know.
Would you guys consider revisiting these characters? Sequel?
I don't know. I that's a question I get asked a lot. But I mean, like, the movie hasn't come out yet. It could totally bomb. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just hope people go see it and really enjoy it.
Could be the next Showgirls.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, I think it's a strange question to ask before, not to ask, but to answer before the movie comes out, because maybe no one will see it. Like, it might be one of those, but we love it. And I mean, I don't know. I think I'm just going to wait and see how we feel about it. Like, you know, I would love to work with everyone in the movie again. I just, you know, let's wait and see hopefully people like it and they want a sequel.
You've been to the screenings, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen the response from the screenings.
Right. But that, I mean, we made a movie that we love, and we know that people, if they see it, you know, they've been really reacting well to it. But, I don't know. I always feel like it's a jinx to talk about to do another one before the movie does well, you know. We're really psyched about Superbad, and like, if we fail, we kind of failed making a movie that we really love, which is fine by us, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be proud of this movie forever, and I just hope people go see Superbad. That's kind of my whole.
Do you feel like you're part of this, like, Judd Apatow family now, that, you know, writers and actors and producers? I mean, do you feel like, you know, it's part of like a little, like maybe circle within the Hollywood community that you have these guys that you can, you know, rely on to just kind of bounce off ideas and, you know, go to for work and things like that?
Well, I mean, I have the opportunity now to go work with other people, and I tend to choose to work with my friends like Judd. I mean, it's literally, we just enjoy all working together, you know. I mean, I know when I do a movie with Seth and Evan and Judd and Greg or any of these people, that I have a shorthand with them that makes it easier to work. It makes the movies better. It makes the day of work better, you know. I couldn't imagine doing this, especially being on this tour for, like, you know, the past 3 weeks with people I didn't really, like, love hanging around, because that would have been, like, that makes me really think, like, do I really like this person as a person also? And that's what I love working with my friends, because I feel like the work ends up better. We all have the same goal. We like the same movies. We know what we want the movie to be like. And I think that's what's great about it. I mean, Judd's given me every opportunity in the world to succeed, and I'm just appreciative of that.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.